Okay, let's begin. We're going to take a look at Shabbos, Kuf Hei Amud Beis, and Kuf Vav Amud Aleph tonight. It's the beginning, well, I'd say it's the beginning of Perek Ha'orek, but it's the second daf of Perek Ha'orek, and then it ends. So it's like, I guess we're in the middle of Perek Ha'orek, which is, I think, four daf in, and we're like in the middle one. So what we're going to see tonight is actually going to be pretty... it's going to be a little bit heavy, because we're talking about a little bit of halacha, a little bit of lamdus, but also I picked it on purpose, but it was a little bit serendipitous in terms of the topic. You can see right away the beginning of the Mishnah starts with HaKorea B'chamato Ve'al Meito. So we're going to talk a little bit about ripping kriya for someone who's passed away. So let's start. So the Mishnah says, "Akareya b'chamaso v'al meiso v'kol makalkalin p'turin." Rule. Well, a couple of rules. Somebody who rips his clothing out of anger, b'chamato, b'chama, like heat, v'al meiso, or for somebody who just passed away, his a relative that passed away presumably, so he has to rip v'kol makalkalin p'turin. But and likewise, anybody who does something that's purely destructive is pater from any punishment midaraisa on Shabbos. Right? We're not talking about whether or not it's mutter to do this or not mutter to do this. We're talking about whether or not a person who does this has to bring a korban, whether or not, if you gave them hasra, that they could be punished. These cases, any cases of makalkalin, are pturin, and that includes a person who rips his shirt for any reason. But if you destroy something, but not in a destructive fashion, but rather for the sake of repairing it, right? You might destroy something so that you can repair it afterwards in a better way than what it was before, or there may be other possibilities for what it means. So, shiuro kimatakin, then the measure for how much it takes in order for you to be chayav, and you are chayav, you are liable if you do that, would be the amount it takes for you'd have to destroy as much as creating would make you chayav. So in other words, let's say for instance, in the case of kriya and of ripping a beged. So if you were ripping your beged, ripping your clothing, in order to re-sew it, so the amount that you would have to rip in order to be chayav would be the amount that you would have to do, you have to sew in order to be chayev. Clear? In other words, if you're gonna rip, let's say two strings, so that's gonna be enough because that's how much it takes to be chayev for sewing. Something along those lines. And the Gemara in the Mishnah says, Shiur hamalabin vaminafetz vatzovea vatove kamalei rache vasit kaful va'oreg shneichut in shiur kamalei asit. It gives you a couple of other malachos. Malabin, which is to whiten, which is to launder clothing. Right? Malabin is to launder clothing. Amalabin and manafet, vatoveh. These are all different kinds of malachos. Some of them are obscure. Tzoveh, you know what it is. It's to dye, to color. Atoveh is to spin. And the different malachos. And they give you a sit kafel. Sit kafel is this space. Double this space between the middle finger and the index finger. That's sit kaful, and the end of the mission says haorge shneichutim shiur kamalei asit. But in terms of ariga, in terms of weaving, just one sit is enough. Okay, so we're not going to talk too much about that. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara immediately gets into the beginning of the Mishnah and asks a question. Uriminu, what kind of question is Uriminu?
Contradiction.
Between? Brought from?
Same level.
Same level. Excellent. So we're expecting now what?
Mishnah.
Or?
Brighton.
So that's a Brighton. Raminu, akorea b'chamato u'bavelo v'almito chayav, v'yafalpi shemechalala t'shabat, yatzai de kriya. Two aspects to this Brisa. The first half of it is going to cause the Gemara problems. The second half the Gemara doesn't address, but we're going to address it through the Rishonim. The first half says that if you rip your shirt out of anger, or because you're mourning a dead relative, chayav, you're actually chayav for that on Shabbos. You're liable for that. V'yaf apishem mechalat haShabbat yotzei dekriya. Nevertheless, if you did do it, you're yotzei kriya. You don't have to do it again after Shabbos. Two aspects to that Mishnah. We're going to focus on the first aspect. Why? What's the problem with the first half?
Contradicts the Mishnah.
The Mishnah said clearly that if you rip your shirt, even if it's for a mace or if it's for anger, out of anger, you're pater. So how can the Braisa say that you're chayev? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, we're going to have a series of answers. Lo kasha. Haba meis didei, haba meis da'olma. Oh, the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about two different cases. The Mishnah, well, let's start with the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about an actual relative who passed away and you actually are chayev kriya. So if you're chayev kriya, is that a destructive or a constructive act?
Constructive.
Constructive, because you have to rip kriya. Presumably that's the rationale over here, right? But the Mishnah is talking about a non-relative. Just happens to be a person that passed away. And you decide that you're going to rip your shirt for that person or out of anger. And therefore, it's completely destructive. And so, you're going to be pater, because it's makalkel. But the Gemara is not satisfied. Why is it not satisfied? Why would the Gemara not be satisfied with this answer? What does it say in the Mishnah? Hakorea b'chamaso ve...
Meto.
Right, so the Gemara says, v'hameto k'tani. It says meto, it's his goof, it's his dead person, it's his dead relative. Lo'olam b'meis didei. No, it really is his mace. So how do we explain it? U'bahanach delav b'nei ve'elsinu. It's his karov, it's his relative, but it's not a relative for whom he has to rip kriya. It's his brother-in-law, it's his uncle, it's his grandfather, grandmother, right? These are relatives that are your relative. It's you. You may be responsible for them in some way. You have connection with them, but it's not somebody that you have a chiyuv to rip kriya for them. Hence, it's destructive in that sense. Okay. So now the Gemara says, okay, fine. Let's hold off for just a minute. Let's go to a different topic. V'chacham hu chiyuv v'mechayev. Oh, but wait a second. Even in the Mishnah, even if it's not your direct relative, it's not somebody that you have to rip kriya for because they're your mother, your father, your son, your brother, your daughter, right? Nevertheless, if it's a chacham, if it's a talmid chacham, you have to rip kriya for that person. You have to rip kriya for a talmid chacham. D'tanya chacham shemes hakol krovav. Because if a talmid chacham dies, everybody is considered his karpnet. What does that mean? Does that mean that everybody's related to him? Is that what that means? So what does it mean? Hakol krovav.
It's as if.
It's as if, like just like a krov has to rip. So the people who have to rip for a talmid chacham who dies. So hakol krovav. Sakadayt Gemara wonders. Elaim hakol kikrovav. Hakol korin alav. Exactly that. Hakol korin alav. Hakol chodzinav. Hakol mavrin alav berachava. All these people, they rip their clothing, and then the custom at the time was that they didn't just rip their clothing, they pulled their shirt over their shoulder. That's the chultzin over here. They pulled their shirt over their shoulder, and they walked in front of the bier, right? Kind of like what we do, but even more. In front of the bier is the body. In front of the body. So wait a second. So maybe the person is a chacham in the Mishnah. So this is kind of like, it's a weird question because the answer is so obvious. No, tzricha delav chacham hu. No, the Mishnah has to talk about a case where the person is not a chacham. In other words, the havamina of the Gemara was that, okay, the person in the Mishnah is a chacham. I don't know why that's a havamina. I don't know. I don't really understand that. It could be that the Gemara just wanted to bring up the topic. But either way, they say, no, the person is not a chacham, and therefore there's no reason to rip kriya for them. But then they say, wait a second though. V'adam kasher hu chiyuv michayev. But even if he's not a chacham, if he's a good person, adam kasher, you also have to rip. D'tani mimnei ma meisim banum v'bnotzav shel adam k'shen k'tanim k'dei sheyivkev yis'abel al adam kasher. So the Gemara says, a frightening statement. After all it says, why does a person have their children pass away during their lifetime? It says because that person didn't cry properly, didn't mourn properly over an adam kasher. How do we know? Hold on. Shen ketanim k'deishiyivke v'isab al-abanav adam kasher k'deishiyivke irvon k'deishiyivke. What, the person dies so that you cry? No. Irvon shakli minei bnei shelo bachav v'isab al-adam kasher shekol abochal adam kasher mochlin lo al kol avonosav b'shvil kavod she'asa. So they say, no. It's not that the person died so that you were supposed to be misabel. It's that when an adam kasher dies, you should really mourn them properly. You should really mourn them properly to the degree that you're supposed to rip kriya according to the Gemara. And if you don't, and if you do, mochlin la kol avonosav, Hashem forgives all of your sins if you do. Which means that if you don't, you have a lot of sins on your plate. So like you were pointing out, it's not a punishment. It's not like, okay, if you didn't mourn properly for the Adam Kasher, so then Hashem punishes you. No, the point is that he doesn't not punish you. In other words, you don't have the force field of being misabel for an Adam Kasher if you fail to do that. So then things can take their natural course. The Gemara is implying that if you were to properly mourn an Adam Kasher, then you would be safe from Banav of Gnosav being killed. Now, this is obviously a frightening and striking statement that the Gemara is making. We don't have time and I don't have answers for when this applies and when this doesn't apply. Like I said, I think all the Gemara is saying is that you don't have that force field. There's a similar Gemara, another Gemara that I've heard explained in a similar fashion. There's a place called Kushta. I like this Gemara. You probably have heard it from me before. Anybody know what the word Kushta means in Aramaic? It means truth. So the Gemara says that there was a place called Kushta, and it was a place where everybody always told the truth. Nobody ever told any lies. And there was a certain sage who went to live in Kushta because he happened to have a very good midah of emes. And he lived there for a short amount of time. And then at some point, the Gemara says that he was in the shower. He was washing his hair, and somebody came to the door, and they asked about him. And his wife didn't want to say he was in the shower because she didn't feel it was sneistic, so she just said he's not home. The next week, both his young children died. Come to the funeral. And some of the people come to him and say, "My high, how could this happen? This has never happened in Kushta. In Kushta, everybody tells the truth, and I didn't mention it before, and nobody dies young. Everybody dies of natural causes at the end of their life in Kushta. Because they all tell the truth." So they say, "My high, this has never happened before in Kushta. How could this happen?" So the wife tells, or he tells, that, you know, maybe it's because last week this happened. So they say, "Yeah, well, we're really sorry, but you have to leave Kushta now. So we can't have any sheker." This is a weird Gemara, especially since in this case it was totally mutter for her to lie, because for shalom bayis, for tznius reasons, there's a perfectly logical reason why she could lie. So I once heard Rav Aaron Levine, who was a rabbi in Flatbush, passed away a couple of years ago. He wrote amazing svarim. He wrote these English books about economics and Jewish law. There's these textbooks, these fat books. They're incredible. And in one of them, he says, you know, what does it mean? It means that he died, or his kids died because he lied? So he says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means that it was a gzeira that his children were going to die young. If he had not lied, they may have been spared because he would have been mishtatef in the force field that is Kushta. But he didn't, so he wasn't able to be saved. I think it's along the lines of what the Gemara is saying. There's some kind of force field. It's not saying that it happens because, it's saying that you're just not protected because you're nichshal in that way. But the Gemara takes very seriously, obviously, kol abochal adam kasher mochlin lo kol abonosav, and the Gemara suggests that, in fact, you have to actually rip kriya for such a person. And so who is this meso in the Mishnah that it's destructive to rip kriya, because you should have to rip kriya for him anyways? Right? Everybody clear on the question? Yeah? With me? Yeah. Okay. So lo tzricha de lav adam kasher. So it has to be, you conclude, that the person in the Mishnah is just not a good person. The meso over here is your distant relative who is not an adam kasher. Not an adam kasher. So then the Gemara says, not so fast. Vid de kaya b'shas yitzias neshama chiyuv mechayev. But if you were there when the person passed away, you would anyways be chayev to rip kriya, even if they weren't an adam kasher. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Ha'omid Alameis B'Shas Yitzias Neshama Chayav Likra. Even if they have very few mitzvos, even if they don't have any mitzvos, even if they are full of averos, nevertheless B'Shas Yitzias Neshama, you have to rip kriya if you're there.
For any why? Person or relative.
For any person, for any person. And it says, what's the reason? Lamaza doma, and this is talking about the Eino Adam Kasher. Lamaza doma le sefer Torah shenisrafa. Because it's like a sefer Torah that was burnt. That for sure, if you were standing in front of a sefer Torah that was burnt, you would have to rip kriya. So too, for this non-Adam Kasher, you would have to rip kriya.
What that you're comparing the sefer Torah?
Yeah.
To an Adam no
kasher.
Yeah. How
now, we're probably not talking about a person who's a Rasha, Marusha, who's a Lashumad, who's a Mumar, Lahachis, or anything like that. We're talking about a person who does have errors. He's not a...
And they chose a Sefer Torah in order
yeah.
to...
So what are you talking so about? A normal Ben...
Chiloni person.
Person
who's not Shomer Torah mitzvah. Person who's not Shomer Torah mitzvah.
Let's say that's the example. I don't understand. You could, and so the you're comparing it again to Sefer Torah, which is completely kosher.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's burnt now.
But still, even if it's burnt, it's still Gneza and it's still kosher. I don't understand.
So take a look at Rashi. The Sefer Torah Shenisraf. It's right next to it. Haroah sefer Torah shenisraf. If you see a sefer Torah that was burnt, chayav likra, you have to rip. Kedamin b'moed katan megilah shesaraf Yehoyakim, dechsev lo pachtu v'lo karo begadim. They got angry that they didn't rip. Af nishmas Yisrael, and he tell us dom lo she'ein lo rik b'Yisrael, rik b'Yisrael she'ein bo Torah mitzvos. I'd say there's almost, if you parse Rashi, there's almost two statements. Number one, he refers to nishmas Yisrael. There's a neshama. There's always a neshama. And the Kabbalists say that you can't sully your neshama. It's impossible. You can't do anything to it. The neshama is always going to be tahora. So whenever a neshama leaves, it's always a neshama tahora. But Faraji goes further, and he quotes, he paraphrases the famous statement that the pomegranate statement, right? That afilu, I don't know the line, but even a very non-shomer Torah mitzvahs Jew is melea mitzvahs karimon. He's filled up with mitzvahs with like a pomegranate. Imagine even a bris milah. Almost every Jew has a bris milah. Even if they're not Shomer Torah mitzvahs, they still have mitzvahs. They still have something. So it's still compared to a sefer Torah.
Can I understand it? Because we externally don't know what the person is.
100%.
To be outside the biggest.
100%.
In the world.
100%. 100%. We tend to focus on the outer trappings of a person. We notice the mitzvahs that are external. There are certain mitzvahs that are very external. And when those are lacking in a person, then we feel, okay, that person is, they're in a way, let's say, chiloni. Yeah, you even throw it out, in a way. And yet we ignore all the other things. Right. We have no idea. We only know the ones that are outwards, that are external. And so we make judgments based on those things, and we have no idea what the person could be on the inside. Especially when we consider, some of those externals may be one, two mitzvos, three, four. And then there's all those other ones that it could be that a person who looks outwardly very from, and on the other hand, maybe in his inner life is totally, missing. So Adam Kasher, I'm not sure what that means. Adam Kasher could be talking about one area. It's likely that it's talking about one area. It could be talking about pritzut. Very often, that's what it's talking about with that. So it could be that the person is a parts, but you don't know. Maybe they're a big philanthropist or something like that.
We could argue then: why would you define anyone not kosher? How can you define someone not kosher? Who are we to? Because this is the definition the Gemara is giving.
No,
it's
a good
question. How can you say that about a person? He's not kosher. What do we know about
right,
him? We don't
right.
know much about
him. Right. It could be because, whereas what I'm saying is true that. We only see the outward trappings of a person, and therefore you can't judge. But it is our only way of judging people, what we see. And so there has to be a category of Adam Kasher. If for nothing else, then let's say for Eidus and for Kashrut and things like that. If you see that a person doesn't eat kosher, so then you can't trust their Kashrut. That we have to make judgments like that. So maybe that's what Adam Kasher means.
Something
like that, yeah. We only have that. You shouldn't make a judgment, but... in terms of practically knowing how to treat a person and how to, you know, trust them for things, you need that.
Also, I'm not sure if it sometimes, like, someone's path, maybe for them that mitzvah is more harder than
right.
50 of your own mitzvah.
Right.
So
right.
You're not in a position to judge.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 Rav Dessler writes about his idea of Nekudas HaBechira, that every person is born with a certain, you know, with a Bechira point. That we like to think that we have free will about everything, but practically speaking, we don't. We're born at a certain point in our lives, we can only make certain decisions. There are certain things that we just can't do. We're meant to move that point further and further along in the right direction, and not, chas v'shalom, in the wrong direction. But with the extension of that is what he says is that, frankly, I don't know, you know, how he knows this, but he claims that if something is beyond your Bechira point, let's say a mitzvah or an aveira is beyond it, then you can't be held responsible. You're not held liable by God for violating it or for not doing it if it's beyond. So, you know, that definitely plays into things over here.
Oh, it's like korbanot. We can't do korbanot.
Correct. Oh. Yeah. There are things we can't do.
Question, does this mean that, like, a doctor, for example, who sees people dying in love?
Right.
Does it declare every time you see somebody die?
I don't know. Is that crazy? I don't know if there's a special din for a doctor. Maybe there's a special din for a doctor, but I don't know why. Why would he need a special din? But
the
pashal halacha
is if you see somebody go up
and
you see somebody
die
in front of you,
right?
But
yeah.
We
paskin like that part, yes. So there are things in here we don't paskin like, but yes, if you're No, for if you're in front of the person, that is the halacha. Maybe the people don't do it because it doesn't happen that often. The other things I want to delve into a little bit more, there's a lot of things being mentioned over here, especially things that have been halacha lemaisa recently. So I want to delve into that a little bit more. But in terms of, you know, being in the room with the person, yeah, you if you're there when the person passed away, yeah, you should be.
Yeah, non-Jews?
Presumably not. Because this doesn't...
Maybe that's why the doctors here never in their own clothes. They're always in scrubs.
It might be dangerous for a doctor to have his clothes sometimes, right? If the person has disease. I mean, maybe it doesn't come up.
Never heard of it happening.
Uh-huh. Never heard of anybody doing it. Okay. Okay, so now we get to the next part. Okay, so now we get to the next part. We just fixed up the meso, but what about, everybody forgot it, what about the chamaso? What about when the person is angry and he rips? Because that's the same in the Mishnah and the Raisa. So what we ended up saying over here, by the way, was that the Mishnah is talking about your distant relative who is not an Adam Kasher.
It's an odd explanation.
What?
It's an odd explanation.
And you weren't there. Right? It is an odd explanation. But that's the best that they could come up with for now.
It's almost like you're saying they've used the word metal, but they're referring to basically anything else other than metal.
Yeah, and they're letting the Braisa, by the way, trump the Mishnah very much so.
Well,
right?
Why do you prefer the Braisa?
Well, I mean, it'd be very hard to explain away. I guess they couldn't explain away the Braisa.
Two different opinions. Well, it's that time comes.
They didn't suggest that.
It's also meant to show the external limit as opposed to, like, a person who's Adam Kasher is not a relative. You know, this is
that
we
kind of
got to draw the line.
Right. So now the Gemara, though, says, Tenach, you see where I am? Tenach meso. Ala chamaso, chamaso kasha. Okay, so we explained away meso. But what about chamaso, achamaso? What about the brights on the Mishnah? They argue, they seem to contradict each other about when a person is angry and rips his shirt. The Mishnah says he's pater, the Braisa says he's chayev. Chamaso, achamaso, nami lo kasha. That's not a problem either. Harab Yuda, Harab Shimon. This is going to pretty much take us through the rest of the Gemara, although we'll have a little bit more, but what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Harab Yehuda, damar malacha she'en tzricha legufa chayav aleha. Harab Shimon, damar malacha she'en tzricha legufa patru aleha. So, there you go. Here is your Mishnah Braisa. There are two different people. The Mishnah that says that your pater, that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa means a malacha that you do, well, Now I'm going to get myself caught. There's a lot of different definitions of what malacha shein tzrich legufa means. But let's say for now, it's a malacha that you do, which is not for the normal reason for that malacha. So let's start with that. That's not the normal reason for the malacha. So for instance, let's say Korea is usually done, it was done in the Mishkan, it was done in order to patch it back up, right? That's why they would rip it so that they could fix it afterwards. Or, let's say some regular examples, if you were to dig a hole, okay? So you dig a hole. Why does a person dig a hole?
To have the hole.
So that's, yes, to have the hole. But what if the person dug the hole and he doesn't want the hole?
He wants the sand.
And he doesn't even want the sand. He doesn't even want the sand.
Just stump his
hole. He digs the hole.
He should work in Africa.
Yeah. So that's called the malacha shein tzrich legufa. Or I'll give you a different example. Let's say a person we'll stay in the morbid camp. Let's say a person has a dead body in his house and he wants to get it out of the house on Shabbos because it's smelly, it's unseemly. Yeah, but that's a separate problem. Let's say you could carry it out on the bed. But the problem is that there's no Eruv outside. So it's carrying him from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So is he allowed to do that on Shabbos? And if he does, is he liable? So the Gemara says that if he's just taking it out in order to get it out of the house, he's pater. Because it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa. Why does a person normally take things from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin?
To
get it there. Yeah. But here he's not doing it to get it there, he's doing it to get it out of his house. So it's a different than normal reason. That's one explanation of it. So here, where the person is ripping his shirt, if it's out of anger, let's say. So why is he doing it? Is that the normal reason why you rip your shirt? No. Does he need the shirt ripped? No. He's just doing it because he's trying to get his tension out. Right?
Why not use this for the first part of the mission? Such a much better explanation.
They may. That we'll see that some of the Rishonim adopt that view. That once we have this, then we can fix the first part of the mission as well. Although that's not so simple.
No, because you have to
explain why. Why is it a malacha shein tzrich legufa? In the Mishnah.
Same thing.
Yeah, but the Braisa says that you're chayav. It's not going to help
you. Yeah, but it's Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda.
That's right. You're saying like that. Yeah, I know. 100%. Yeah, you're right. 100%. The Rishonim are going to adopt, or some of the Rishonim are going to adopt that view. So.
Actually, it's even a better example. Meito. Doing Melech HaVinatz HaGufa.
Right. Well, whether or not it's shein tzrich legufa, we'll have to figure it out. That's going to be part of what's at stake here. So either way, though, it's clear that they solved the problem of chamaso by saying one is Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're chayav, he's the braisa, you're chayav, even if you do malacha shein tzrich legufa, even if you do it for the non-normal reason, you're still going to be chayav. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, once it's not the normal reason, you're a pater, he's the Mishnah. But wait a second, not so fast. I know that Rabbi Yehuda says that malacha shein tzrich legufa, a malacha that you do which is not needed for guf ha malacha, right, is chayav. But that's only when it's at least metakein. But does Rabbi Yehuda ever say that malacha shein tzrich legufa is chayav if it's also mekalkel? In other words, what makes it into a malacha now if it's also mekalkel? It's destructive. There's nothing about it. We don't know that Rabbi Yehuda ever says that. Amar Rabbi Avin, hainami metakinhu. So Rav Avin says, no. This is actually metakinhu. The ka'avid nachas ruach li yitzro. Everybody knows the song? Right.
Okay.
That's the song. I can't shake the feeling that the Gemara is actually, doing playing a game over here. Because the phrase is just so
similar.
Okay, the song. Ashrei mi she'amal ha-Torah. I'm missing a line, but it says, Vosanachas ruach liyotzro. He gives... nachas to Hashem, the Yotzro, to the one who created him. So here, he's giving nachas ruach leyitzro, to his inclination. In other words, he's giving vent to his feelings. So Rav Avin suggests that that's actually mitaken, because you're being mitaken your feelings. There is a purpose to it. There is a constructive purpose to it. It's not only destructive. Hainami mitakenu, tekavid nachas ruach leyitzro. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're chayev. Ukai gav. So then the Gemara says, ukai gav the mishari. Vatanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Chilfa bar Igra, Shamar, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Hamakareah begadav b'chamaso, v'hamashaber kelev b'chamaso, v'hamafazer ma'osav b'chamaso, yehei b'inecha kovid avodah zarah. Forget Shabbos. Forget Shabbos. Let's leave Shabbos aside. Who said you're allowed to rip your shirt because you're angry? Who said you're allowed to do any of that? After all, this brisa, the Amoraim say that if you rip your shirt, or you break your plates, or you destroy your money, you throw money around in any way because you're angry, it's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Yehei b'inecha ko'oved avodah zarah. It's like you're serving idolatry. Shekach umnoso shel yetzahara hayom omer lo asekach, ulemachar omer lo asekach, acha omer lo avodah zarah, v'holich v'oved. Not because of what you're thinking, not because it itself is avodah zarah, but rather because that sense of loss of control that you basically give into your feelings and lose control over yourself can ultimately lead to avodah zarah. Because the Yetzer Hara tells you to do this, and then the Mara tells you to do something else, and you keep telling yourself, well, this is just to release tension, and this is just to make me feel better. And each time you do something more and more until, chas v'shalom, you get to avodah zarah. And so, how can you say that this is what it's talking about? That's never mutter. Now, why it matters that it's never mutter, I'm not sure exactly I understand. So what? So it's never mutter. The person did it. So the question is whether he's chayev or he's pater. But we delve into this a little bit more. Amar Avin, my Kra'ah. How do you know this? Lo yehebecha el zar, v'lo tishtachave le'el nechar. Ezu el zar. That's a pasuk, right? That's a pasuk in Tehillim. So lo yehebecha el zar, v'lo tishtachave le'el nechar. So ezu el zar, who is a foreign god? Sheyesh begufo shel adam. Havi omer ze yetzahara. That's the yetzahara that would be becha. In other words, it says, lo yeh becha elzar. There shouldn't be in you a foreign god. What's a foreign god in you? The answer is the yetzahara. The yetzahara is the foreign god in you.
That's it. There's no, like, it's not Baal and all these other people.
The elzar begufo shel adam. The Elzar who is inside of you. That the pasuk says lo yihyeh bicha. So the standard pshat would be amongst you, meaning amongst the people. But the Gemara reads it a little bit more literally and says there should not be in you bicha, you individually. You should not have inside of you an Elzar. So how can you have an Elzar inside of you? So you can't have a pesel inside of you. So the answer is the Yetzer Hara is a form of avodah zarah. Lo tzricha, so they say that's thrown out for some reason. That's enough to knock out the idea that the person was just doing it in order to give nachas ruach liyitzro. Again, I don't really understand why, because the person may have been doing an aver, he's doing that aver, he's also doing this aver. What's the problem? But the Gemara rejects that and says, no, we're talking about a different case. The ka'avid the mirma emsa ainche beise. He's doing it on purpose and consciously. He's doing it in order to intimidate his family, in order to make a point to his family, to show how serious he is, to put a scare into them, so that he can impress upon them that he's very, very upset. He's not really angry. He's ripping his shirt, he's doing something, he's not even really angry.
He's not really out of control.
He's not out of control. He's totally in control. He's just doing it in order to lay down the law and scare people a little bit in the house. Okay.
Scare them for what?
By ripping his shirt. So that they stop doing whatever it is that they're doing that he doesn't like. If you've ever done anything like that in front of a family, you see that kind of... Yeah.
Then becomes menachashetz of the gufam.
Your experience,
Rabbi. No. It doesn't become menachashetz of the gufam. It doesn't have the normal effect of the malacha. It's mitakein. It's mitakein. And that's why Rabbi Huda would say that it's asar. It's not makalkel. But it's not menachashetz of the gufam. So now they tell a couple of strange stories. Each one of them was different. So the first one was that he pulled off a border of his garment. So he ripped his shirt, basically, in order to demonstrate his displeasure. And then Ravacha bar Yaakov tavar mani tavirei. He broke a broken utensil. So he broke a broken plate. In other words, he was a little bit thrifty about it. So he took a broken plate and he broke it again, right? Rav Sheshes Ramila la'imse munine aresha Rabbi Abba tavar nachtama. These were, what were they? Rav Sheshes, this is weird. Rav Sheshes threw fish brine at the head of his maidservant. That was a little weird. I don't know what she did. She must have done something really bad. Don't know. It's definitely not... wouldn't do that now. And I guess she did something really terrible. But And then the last one was also if Ava broke a lid of a pitcher. Okay. So those are all cases where the person was in control. It wasn't that they were letting themselves get out of control. They were in control and they did it in order to make a point, in order to, it's no metaphor, in order to break a plate in front of people so that they would calm down and do what they said. Okay. Amar B'Shem B'Padzi, Amar B'Yoshua Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kol Amori D'maos Al Adam Kasher. Now we're getting back to that. Somebody who sheds tears for an Adam Kasher, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sofran U'Menichan B'Beit Genzav. He counts them, and he keeps them in his treasure house. Shneamar, Nodei Svarta Ata Sima Dimati B'Nodecha. Halo B'Sifratcha. What is this? This is from Tehillim again. I actually need the translation here. It says, my wanderings you have yourself counted. Nodi, that's wanderings. Sfarta ata sima dimati benodecha. Place my tears in your flask. Nodecha is a flask. Are they not in there in your account? Okay, so he places, the metaphor over here is placing dma'ot, placing tears inside of a flask. Amar v'yudam arav, kol amit atzel behespedo shel chacham. The flip side, somebody who is lazy about the hesped, I assume this is somebody giving the hesped, but he's lazy about it, Ra'oi l'kovro b'chayav. He should be buried himself. Shneamar ve'ikbru oto, buried alive. Ve'ikbru oto b'gvul nachlato b'timnat serach asher b'har Ephraim mitzfun lahar gash melam b'chara gash alein har lohar gan. When there was a, when serach bat asher, this is talking about Yehoshua. When Yehoshua was buried, so they actually were, they were mitatzel when they were burying Yehoshua. They didn't take it so seriously. And the Navi says that Hashem was very angry at them, and the way that Chazal read it is that they were almost buried under the mountain, similar to what happened at Har Sinai, because Hashem was so upset that they weren't treating Yehoshua's burial seriously. Then the Gemara says, "Amar v'chir bar Ava, Amar v'yochnu kol mit antzel behespedo shel chacham ino mareich yamim mida keneged mida." A person who is lazy about the hesped, he won't have long days, which is a midah keneged midah, shneemar b'sa'asa b'shalcha terivena, which is basically a lashon of midah keneged midah. B'sa'asa, which is a measure, b'sa'asa b'shalcha terivena, that you're treated with a precise measure. So why exactly this merits the whole concept of midah keneged midah, the mafarshim debate, I don't want to get into it, but that's the basic idea over here, that if you're mitatzel, so then you're going to not have long to live. Let's get past this a little bit, just jump to the bottom over here, where it says, Amar b'chia bar Abba, in the last line. Amar b'chia bar Abba, Amar b'yochanan. Echad min ha'achin shemeit, Yida'agu kol ha'achin kulan. If a brother passes away, all the other brothers should be worried. Echad mimnei chabura shemeis, tida'ag kol chabura kula. If one of a chabura friends, a whole group of friends of similar ages, if one of them passes away, the whole chabura should be worried. Amrila demes gadol, some say that it's referring to when the it's not clear whether it's the greatest or whether the oldest amongst them passes away, that everybody should be worried. If the greatest amongst us passed away, then we should be worried too. V'amilad demes katan, and some say no, it's referring to the if the katan dies, And Rashi says shebeklala matchilin min hakatan, because that's a sign that, you know, it's creeping up. It starts from the lower one and then it goes to the higher ones. So you should be worried. The Rambam, actually, I reserve the right to use this whenever I want. Have you ever heard the phrase uru yishenim yishanatchem v'nodamim hakitz mitardim atchem, which is wake up, you sleepers, from your slumber? So the Rambam uses that phrase where? So he uses in Hilchot Tshuva, he says the shofar, af al pi she, he says remez badavar. He says even though the Torah doesn't tell you what the shofar means, there is a remez. It means that you should wake up. Now people know that it's by the shofar, but you know that there's two other places where the Rambam uses the phrase that are very similar. Well, the phrase itself is very similar. One of them is by mezuzah. It says the point of the mezuzah is that when you see the mezuzah, uru yishenim mishenatchem, you're supposed to be woken up when you see it. And the other is this. If one of the Bnei Chabura dies, everybody else should be woken up, that uru yishenim, that they should take it as a motivation for tshuva. They should see it that Hashem is sending them a message that they need to wake up. They need to take things seriously. Rambam says those three places. Uru Yishenim, but people only know the one by the shofar. Okay, let's do a little bit more, and then we'll come back around. But this part's a little bit hard, so you have to pay attention. But it's important Gemara. Comes up in a few different places, and it's important. Kol mekalkelin p'turin. Any case where a person does a malacha, but it's mekalkel, they're pater. Tani Rabbi Abahu, kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abahu used to teach in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol mekalkelin p'turin chutz michovel manfir. He says, it's true, kol mekalkelin p'turin, but there are 39 malachos. 37 of them, kol mekalkelin p'turin. But two of them, even if you do it in a mekalkel way, you're chayav. What are they? Mavir and chovel. What's mavir and chovel? Mavir is to light a fire. So when you set fire to things, that's mekalkel. But you're still chayav. And chovel, which is to wound, to cause somebody to bleed, whether it's an animal or a person or even yourself. That's chovel. That's also mekalkel. It's always mekalkel. And so you're chayav, even if you do it in a mekalkel fashion. That's what Rabbi Avo says. Rav Yochanan responds, Amrli, Puk tani leva, go teach that outside. In other words, that's wrong. Just get out of here. Go teach that outside. That's not for inside the base measures. That's not true. Chovel mavir ain't a mishnah. There's no mishnah like that. There's no mishnah that says that chovel mavir, you're a chayav, even if you're mekalkel. Vim tamad lomer mishnah, vim timsi lomer mishnah. And if you want to say that it is a mishnah, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean stam. Chovel mavir is chayav even if it's mekalkel. It's only specific cases. Chovel b'tzarech leklavo. Mavir b'tzarech leafro. It only talks about where